Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Well, good evening and welcome to Breaking the Silence. I'm Greg Williams. Welcome to my home here in the beautiful city of Houston, Texas, y'all. And we're looking over my shoulder here, the sun going down at the Texas Medical Center right behind me. Here's my little grand piano, and you can see that there's not much traffic going on. I was just looking out the window during the introduction. It's kind of quiet right here, but boy, it sure is hotter than a hornet in Houston, Texas. But it's just great having you with us tonight. I don't think there's anything that I would rather be doing tonight than this program, just to be able to spend some time with some friends on this live, wonderful network that we have with BBS Radio. The Olympics are over. If there's anything you want to watch on TV, you can DVR it and watch it later on tonight. Why not just join us live? And it looks like, from what our numbers are already, there's a lot of people active on already and texting me and online watching. So I appreciate your participation. And there's several different ways you can get involved tonight. One, you can just sit back and grab a notepad and paper and just relax and have a nice drink of, I have nice cool water here, and just sit back and enjoy and just take a sip or two and take down some notes and have some availability to be able to have a notepad and a pen because you're going to get some good information tonight. Or you can get involved. You can call 888-627-6008 and you can talk to the wonderful staff at BBS Radio and they will patch you right through to the program tonight and you can talk live with me and the guest. And if you have a comment, if you have a story about them, if you have something you want us to know about them, or you just have a question about what they're doing and why they're doing and something maybe in your community that would say, hey, how can I make a difference like what you're doing where you're located at? Feel free to call and comment on that. You can also text me. I think I'm the only crazy nut on the face of the earth who gives out my personal cell phone number, but 832-396-6525 gets you right here. And during the commercial break at the bottom of the hour, I will check all of those. And if there's a comment or a question, I'll be glad to patch you on through and read it for you if you don't want your voice on by calling the radio station. Or you can get on Shattered by the Darkness Facebook page that I'm looking at right now that's live, and you can comment on there and just let us know what's on your mind. We would love to have you join in with us. I've had an awesome week. It's been a busy week, been one of those weeks of ups and downs and unexpected things that's happening to me in our world, and but it's been a pretty decent week. I wanted to appreciate if we have anybody that is joining us tonight that is from the Dallas area. We want to welcome them in this evening and all the new guests and the friends that we have around the country on the program this evening. So just welcome and join in. As I was thinking about this week, I always like to just throw out a couple minutes of just not fluff, but something that I've been thinking about, dwelling on. And hopefully maybe our guest tonight will have some input on it. But it's kind of hit me solid between the eyes this week of the importance of, I don't even know if this sentence makes sense, but the importance of being present, of just being here, being in the now. wherever you are, I need to start being concerned about being all there, wherever I'm at. There's so many things that draws me away, and you know, this thing is a lovely device, but let's be honest, it's not a communication tool. It's a communication interrupter. Because if I was sitting here having a conversation with our guest tonight, and you see me doing this, and I'm not interacting with them, and I'm just, and you can tell I'm not involved. I wonder what kids think about that when mom and dad's doing that all the time. I wonder what your spouse thinks about that when you're sitting across the dinner table and you're too busy playing games and you can't even make eye contact with the person that is the most important person in your life. I wonder what your coworkers think when you're checking your Facebook page right in the middle of a meeting. I just wonder what the people that you say you care about are thinking when you show them you're not 100% present. Living in the moment, honestly, I believe means letting go of the past and not waiting for the future. And it means just living your life precisely aware that each breath you take is a literal gift from God. Each breath. So if I take this few moments and I'm with the two guests tonight that are awesome ladies, they're doing awesome work, and I don't give them all of my time and effort and my energy and my mind and my presence, then I'm degrading them and disrespecting them. I don't want to do that to anybody. I think we all deserve 100% interaction, caring and leaning in. There's too much looking down and leaning away from people today. We need to lean into each other. And presence is when you're no longer waiting for the next moment and you're believing that next moment will be more fulfilling than the moment you are right now. This is the most important time in your life, this very minute. Yeah, I can say, hey, wait, I can't wait to go to California in September and go to California in October and go to Washington, D.C. and all these different places I get to go speak. I just can't wait. But then I forget all about the time working up that, and I'm going to miss all about what tomorrow is all going to be. But in all reality, I'm missing what right now is. So I'm going to encourage you to be present. And I want to just give you some really quick things to jot down that's going to help me this week try to incorporate that more in my life. Because folks, life is a gift. And when you're told your life is not going to be forever, you start to understand just how valuable every second becomes. But let's be real. Let's have a reality check here. Nobody's life is forever, and we don't know if we're guaranteed one more minute. So why waste it on something that won't matter to a hill of beans in our next eternity? Why would we do that? But we do it all the time. Get rid of the fluff and start dealing with substance. And the substance is usually the very people that's right within your eye contact every single moment of your life. First thing, I want you to just write these down. I'm going to go quick because I really have a lot of things I want to talk to our guests about tonight. But the first thing, I think, before you ever let your feet touch the floor, I sleep in that recliner right there, not very long each night, but I put a power nap there. And before my feet touch the floor every morning, I try to sit there for just a second and think of a couple things I'm grateful for. That moment of gratitude starts my day off instead of negative in a positive way. God, good morning. Or, oh God, morning. Two different ways of looking at this. I get to experience one more day. And starting that and throwing that gratitude up to the one that deserves it means so much. And just opening our eyes some days can be a challenge for some of us. And I think we need to throw that gratitude before we ever even start affecting and interacting with other people. Begin your day with just a few seconds of gratitude before you start pouring in all the negativity from this thing and from the TV and from the radio and all the newspapers and all the political junk and all the stuff. And then when you get to the office, all those projects that are due and they should have been done over the weekend. No, start it off with some gratitude. Engage. Try to every one of your senses, every one of taste, smell, hearing, seeing, all of those, try to engage those and not miss one of those blessings of that. And when you're dealing with people, take time to make eye contact with them. I try to say hi to, they probably think I'm nuts, going down the Texas Children's hallway down to the cafeteria every morning at 6:30. I'm right there going down. They open up at 6:30 and I'm walking down there. Hey, good morning, good morning, good morning. And the half of them don't ever look up, don't ever grunt, just keep on going. But I want to make sure, hey, good morning. I'm not trying to get in your wallet. I'm not trying to manipulate you. I just want to let you know, hey, this is going to be a good day. Interact with people and make eye contact. Focus on, if you can, only one thing at a time. We pride ourselves being multitasking. Oh, I can multitask better than anybody in the world. I don't even know if that's a possibility of being a multitasker and doing anything right. I think we need to focus on one thing at a time and do it the best of your ability. Only a couple more and I'm done. Pause sometime during the day. Pause and push away social media. Push it away and just pause. I think sometimes we are media overload. And I think sometimes that causes our anxiety and our heart rate to go from here to here in a New York minute. And we're wondering why. It's because I'm trying to head to a meeting. I'm trying to end a conversation here. And I'm getting dings on this. And I'm trying to answer all of those before I ever get to where I'm supposed to be. Just pause it. Put it down. Put a, hey, I'm not answering right now. I'll be back with you just as soon as I get back to my phone. Take some time for yourself. Also, intentionally schedule time to be present, to make a note that I'm going to be present right now in who I am, what I'm doing. And if you have to schedule it, block it out. Two more. Journal. I believe in that. I have stacks of journals. I handed a whole bunch of journals out this week, you know, and even today at church, stacks of them. And I believe in journaling. Journal, write down those things that you're concerned with, those things you need to be aware of, those things that you're grateful for, those things you need to work on, life lessons. And then somewhere in the middle of the journal, don't forget to just sit back and laugh. Find joy in something. And if it's just getting on the floor and playing a game with the little child, and laughing with them, it doesn't get any better than kids. But belly laugh. And before I close this out and welcome our guests, just don't forget that right now is a gift. It's a gift for you. Don't overlook the gift of this present moment. And I tell you what, in this present moment, I am thrilled to have the two ladies that are I consider my friends on the other side of the country, but they are still my friends. I don't have many, but they're internet friends as far as we interact, emails and texts. But Millennieth Vaughn and Patrice Perron is with us this evening, and they are with the Project Foundation. Patrice is the founder, the executive director, the president, the CEO. I don't know how many of those that you can put behind your name, but of the Project Foundation and the vice chair of the Project Foundation and the initiator of the Project Broken Arrow, Millennieth. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yes, Millennieth. You are.
Fantastic. Good. Yes. TJ, bring these beautiful ladies in so we can see their faces. Welcome to the program tonight. And how you all doing? Y'all doing okay?
Yes. Great. I'm doing great.
Fantastic. Great to have you with us. And I'm already getting my phone's buzzing. It's on silent, but I can see it flashing with people that probably have comments or questions for you. But tell me, first of all, it's great to have you. Do you remember how we even connected and got to know each other? When did all that happen?
Well, it's a great story. I was sitting, it was in Oklahoma.
Okay.
The Man Project had a
Oh.
human trafficking summit, and you were teaching about ACEs, and I was actually sitting in the class that you, the first class, which was going over trauma-informed training, and I sat among, a lot of law enforcement, a lot of service providers as well, and you just did an amazing job in teaching that the officer next to me, I can tell you, he was just drenched in tears while everybody left for lunch. I just had to sit down next to him and allow for him to just express whatever he wanted to. But I can tell you, just in that short period of time sitting there with him, that's the impact you made in his life and also mine as well. You know, I have my own personal breakthroughs. And, you know, while we're helping survivors of human trafficking, there are things, it was this journey in stepping out of faith that also enabled me to reach another level of healing for me as well. So thank you. That's where we first met.
Okay. So it was a Tulsa at the Demand Project. Okay. Summit.
Yeah.
Okay. Fantastic. Patrice, tell me, how did you get involved in this, the Project Foundation? Where did the name come from? How long has it been going? Why are you so devoted to this? And what is it that they actually do, since you're the founder and the president and CEO and Queen Poobah and all of those other names that we can put on you? But tell me all about it. Why are you so passionate about this?
Well, I would say I'm passionate because God put it in my heart and he has a heart for it. And I couldn't turn away from that. So it started several years ago. My background is hairdressing, business owner, worked in, felt called to go to Hollywood from the East Coast. So in that time, I've also done ministry, and I sat in front of many people listening and being present. I loved what you said earlier. I love that. Being present, because ministry of presence is the most important. We don't really need a title. We just need to show up.
Yeah.
So I think that's really, when you said all that, I was like, oh no, I think I just showed up, stayed, endured, and lean on God and lean into him and watch what he does. So with that, I was sitting in front of many women mostly and youth, and they started disclosing some horrific stories of their lives, sexual assault, different things, and just hearing about it. And some of them were sex trafficked. So with that said, I just was like, how do we stop this? What do we do? And at the time, people really didn't think it happened in the United States. And so it was very, very difficult to endure that, I'll be honest with you. And it did have a different name, and it was a bit of a promiscuous name, I'll say it, that. And I did change the name because I didn't think, over the years, obviously I prayed about that. And over the years, God's just kept it going. And through that education, awareness, prior to that, I mean, I would kind of backtracking a little bit. I started serving because I had no idea what to do about this. So I'm not the expert. I'm just the crazy one who said, okay, let's go. I don't know. God, you do it. And then he started bringing people in. And so through that, yeah, it just has taken off. We've been in Cambodia. We've been East Coast, West Coast. I thank God for my beautiful sister and friend, Melinieth, who's joined forces after a while. We've been friends prior to that, but and we kept in contact. And once she joined forces, I really felt like, the support was there to carry on because, when you start a startup like that, there's so much opposition. People don't even believe it's happening. You start to wonder, should I just sit down and stop this? And there's days that I still feel like that, honestly. Do we stop? But because God's heart is in it, and I believe he is, I have watched him bring people in, such as yourself, and many other friends. So I'm grateful to God. And that's how it started. And obviously, it's expanding and expanding throughout the last, I'd say, the last 5 years. I've really seen increase. During COVID, particularly, it gave me a minute to really be present in our organization because I still had a full-time job. So, doesn't keep you always, you have to be present where you are, right? And so it gave us an opportunity, actually. And even though at that time, because of the internet and kids online, it actually had a whole other open door to perpetrators to have access to kids. So in that, I think that was, and millennials could speak into that. I think that was kind of another defining moment of our organization and really brought increase not only to the problem, but to what we were able to do about it and people joining forces and realizing this exists, it's happening to our kids.
And it is happening to our kids right across the street, right in our same neighborhood. I keep advocating it's not in the bad parts of town,
That's
it's
right.
in every part of town.
That's right.
Melania, how did you get involved in this? You said you knew, Patrice said you guys knew each other before. What got your heart hooked and pulled in?
Well, I met Patrice for the first time up in a conference at a summit that I was invited to. I'm trying to think of the name. I can't remember the name right now. Do you recall? Okay, so I think somewhere in California. Oh, Big Bear.
I was
Okay.
going to say Big Bear.
Big
I didn't know if you knew the name of the
Bear. I'm
conference. I was like,
like,
oh,
what?
Gerard.
The conference Big Bear. And, we were just, I was bringing the youth up there and I had to drive back down. It was another 4 hours. And I just remember sitting next to her, getting to know her. And she shared with me in regards to what she's doing, the ministry she's a part of. And as soon as her human trafficking, it just really tugged in my heart to get to know more about it. And so that was the first time I connect with Patrice, and we stayed in touch ever since. And God worked in my heart, and so I jumped on board, I think, in 2014. And since then, we've been just doing whatever the Lord has lead us to do. He's been taking us far, near, all over the place. So, as far as the impact in all the glory is all really given to him.
When you deal with the folks that you deal with, is it localized, or do you go and do anything in the world or the country that's asking for help? Are you hands-on, or are you more proactive, teaching, training people how to recognize it, educating people, or are you in the trenches rolling up your sleeves saying, "Hey, we have a victim here that needs help"? Tell me how involved you are and what kind of problem we have with human trafficking from your point of view. You're the experts.
The first thing I was going to say is yes, all of
Okay.
it. We have our hands in. And I'm going to let Millennius expand on that. But the first thing when you're saying, I was like, yes, and yes. We are very involved with some of our survivors. We go to speak and educate, and then you have people, young people particularly, disclosing. So, yeah. And whatever we have to do, because we don't sometimes have the capacity to just, and we don't want to just push them over on somebody else, because that they need to know that we're there with them, really. And I'll let Millennials expand on that. So whatever it takes, I think is really whatever it takes. And obviously we keep praying that other people come in and take up their
Right.
part because we can't carry it all.
Right.
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 Like for example, I'll just bring a few examples. We're known to go to schools and educate, bring forth education, aiding for parents and what have you. But I also sit on the Human Trafficking Task Force core team. So we had a case back in 2021, or probably that 2020, I think. And the case entailed somebody who was from the US that went to Cambodia and molested underage girls. So they reached out to our task force to assist with that, with the particular survivors and the victims of that case. And I'm Cambodian, so they're like, oh, a lot of them are Cambodian, they're from Cambodia, so therefore, if there's any help you can provide us, please do so. And just by assisting them through that case, that's like hands-on. You're greeting, you're meeting them, you're trying to assist them through, like, once they're here, how to even something as simple as how to use a microwave, and then I had to go to the Cambodian market here in Long Beach to go ahead and buy the right foods for them. And so there's just so many things we are working hand in hand alongside the attorneys, alongside law enforcement, and just it was such a great collaboration just to make sure that they were okay. And I can tell you, during that time, ICE wasn't really an agency that people loved. But then I had the opportunity to meet and to work alongside and meet a number of the agents, special agents, and I'm like, wow, you guys do so much, and people don't realize the great work that you're doing. And so it just changed my perspective as opposed to, just reading and listening to all the bad news at the time. And I just had a heart for not just the survivors, the victims, but our law enforcement and serve other additional service providers that just came together to work out everything we could for them at the time. So talk about being hands-on, extremely hands-on. I run a business, and so I literally had to put a pause on my business and go ahead and jump in on board, all in, just to make sure during that time every need that they needed were met.
Now, do you have capabilities right now where you're located at for type of residential? I know that has to be in your plans, right? Your dreams. But do you
That's one of
have
our plans.
housing
Yes.
for people? You do? Shelters?
Well, we currently don't have shelters here. Well, let me backtrack. The Project Foundation currently we don't have a shelter for survivors. What we do is we collaborate. But what I want to go ahead and speak into is for tonight, Project Broken Arrow. Project Broken Arrow is a space where I spent the summer of 2021 with a lot of Native American tribes from the Navajo tribe, some from Hopi and what have you. And I have never in my life sat down, spent about 6 to 7 weeks with them to actually get to know them. And in the relationship building part and getting to know them, I realized the lack of resources and how much higher their population is being exploited. I mean, it was like the scale lifted from my eyes, Dr. Williams, at that time. I attended a again, a conference, a Christian conference, a faith-based conference in Gallup. During that time, it was COVID. Nobody wanted to travel, no one wanted to do anything, and we weren't allowed to, depending on, what state you were living at the time. So, the Lord dropped in my spirit, when I was invited to go to Gallup. I said, I don't even know where Gallup is. Let alone, I'm like, okay, I'll go, Lord. And so I showed up, and that was my first time interacting heavily with Native Americans alongside everybody else in the community. And I kept coming week after week. And 1 week in particular, which I do want to share, is one of the pastors, was Pastor Song Bae. She was up at the podium, and she says, what do you want to give to the Lord? Like, what is it that in your life that you're willing to sacrifice for him? because he's done so much for us, right? And she says, write it on a post-it and bring it up here to the altar. And so I sat there being present, just taking that time, that moment to really think about what can I possibly give God. And I wrote down, I don't have monetary funds to give, like, hundreds and thousands of dollars, Lord. I don't have this, I don't have that, but what I do have is I have my time. I have time to give you. And I fold it up and I put it up in the altar, and I can tell you, every time you ask and you pray to God, God, use me, Lord. And when the time comes for him to say, yes, I'm going to use you, daughter. I'm going to use you, son. Are you willing to take that step when he says, I'm going to send you? So June 16th, I had a prayer meeting, and I was part of a prayer meeting, and as my sisters were praying for me, he was made it very audible. Get ready, because I'm sending you. And right then and there, I knew exactly where he was sending me. And it was to Gallup, New Mexico, to help the people that were exploited. The studies show that, in a study conducted in four sites in the US and Canada, an average of 40% of women involved in sex trafficking identified as American Indian, Native American, Alaskan Native, or First Nations. Yet Native women only represent 10% or less of the general population in the studied communities.
That's wild. That's huge. That's huge. I want to drill a little deeper. We're going to take our commercial break. I want to find out what kind of issue is it with the American natives, the Alaskan, all those, and find out why is it so prevalent. What can we do? How can we get involved? What are you have, what do you have on your radar? And that's that blurb that you're saying, that's what we're after, that's what we're going to impact, and that this is our plan to try to do that. I am very interested because I understand that is a hard nut to crack into to get inside, because they're very protective, and rightfully so, of their native land and their native people, and it's hard to get inside. We're going to find out more about that on the other side of this 82 second commercial. Don't leave us. Be right back just in a few seconds. Hang with us.
From HCI Publishing, that brought you the international bestsellers, A Child Called It, and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years, and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
Welcome back to Breaking the Silence. We have Patrice and Melenieth, with the Project Foundation that is doing unbelievable work with the victims, the survivors, the thrivers, however you want to put that. I believe all of those sometimes describe the people that are enduring it, those that are actually still involved in it with human trafficking. Also, their work that we're talking about right now with the Native Americans. I'm interested, is this work that this project Broken Arrow is focused on, is it mainly in that Gallup area in New Mexico, or is it expanding, or is that where your primary concern is right now because the door maybe has been open for y'all?
Yes, that's correct, Dr. Williams. We are focusing on Gallup, New Mexico, because the door has opened for us, and we're so grateful that has opened for us. And the number of survivors that we have encountered and have met in the past over 3 years has been from Gallup, New Mexico.
What kind of walls are built up within them and the native people that we don't understand, that we need to understand if we try to reach out to them with love and care and presence? What kind of obstacles and speed bumps have you ran into that maybe normal people like me wouldn't understand, but need to understand?
Well, I'm given the history, Native Americans have been exploited, right? At so many levels. I mean, you can go as far back as you want to. And in regards to colonization, in regards to taking their culture away from them, removing them from their families, and treaties that were never fulfilled, promises broken. Just the list goes on and on and on. So as far as that goes, the Trail of Tears, where they their people have to walk 250 to 450 miles. So just kind of allow for that to sink in, and ask yourself, if that's how you've been treated, how are you supposed to trust anybody that's not Native?
Do you find that the statistics for, let me just be really naive here, the average white American and the statistics for suicide compared to the Native American, alcoholism compared to those different categories of folks, abuse, domestic violence. Do you find that once you cross that line into the Native American, that the percentage is a lot higher than what we see outside of their tribe?
When it comes to Native American, and they are suffering with alcoholism.
Yeah.
They are suffering if their women and children are sexually abused at a higher rate. If you're Native American, the likelihood of you being raped, sexually abused, assaulted is 1 in 3 by the time you reach, say, 18.
Wow.
And
What? What now? What can be? Let's be real about this. Let's break this down to where the river meets the road. What can we do to help that? What's the issue? The real solution. What would it take in a dream world to solve that problem?
I asked God the same question.
Therese, you got a thought on this? What is it that they need? Is it more education? Is it better counseling? Because we don't have the answers for everybody, but obviously it's not working.
Yeah. My experience, and just kind of wrapping my head around the people and the culture and learning, because there is a
Yeah.
learning curve. And because there's a learning curve, what I realized when Melanie, said, you have to come, you have to look at this. And, obviously, as a white woman, I'm already thinking, okay, how are they going to receive me? Melanie can look and fit in that visually. But what I was met with was I experienced extreme favor, but it also took us cultivating and being there and cultivating relationship. So I think that's the highlight I want to bring to the table. It wasn't like we just had this and then calling of God. And here he did open the doors, and we wait, and there was favor. And we have to continue navigating that and have cultural understanding. And I'm a firm believer in, because in a sense it's missions, right? So I'm a firm believer is we can go into the land as an outsider, but we need to be culturally sensitive. And I'm going to say Holy Spirit led with the wisdom and allow, actually build up them so they can be the voice. So what do we do? I'm sure there's been a lot of education around it, but since we're, right now, focusing on Gallup, New Mexico, yes, for Broken Arrow, we're building a task force first so we can build the resources. So we know the land, know the resources, assess the community in that radius of New Mexico, that's surrounding, we'll say 20, 40, 50 miles. And then what's beyond Albuquerque, where this, I guess I would say, that's about 2 hours. Is that right, Melania? 2 hours away. So where they would be more, they would have more of the resources, join forces with them, see what's already been done. So it's a work. It's not just, I don't know
You
if they're
can't
the
go in overnight and expect it to happen because building the relationships are probably huge,
key.
right? You got to go from foundation, brick by brick by brick, for trust to be built, correct?
100%.
Be present, right? It's all about being present, just as you explained earlier.
And allowing them to pass it on to their own people. To educate them and allowing them to be the voice that you aren't the experts with the briefcase walking in. This is what you got to do. You
Absolutely.
train them to take it to the
Yeah.
inner drives, right?
And I would say that is our approach. And I am sure, I'm certain others have gone in with the briefcase, so to speak, with we're going to do, and it's had a shut door. So, Melania, if you can speak into that more, that's just my personal understanding of how do we navigate this with wisdom, because we don't want, we've already worked about 3 years already navigating, cultivating the land, the people. Millennia has been there on several occasions first. Then I joined her to come in and learn. And what I've noticed is we're gaining ground, but I always, we just have to be mindful and use wisdom every day, because that quick, it can switch on us and they could shut us down or shut us out, I should say.
Right.
Don't want that. We're building the bridge. And for me, it's empowering them. We're not going to be there forever, but they are. And we're empowering them, giving them the tools, what they need, and feeling safe. I think that's another key in relationship, feeling safe.
Millennia, what do you perceive in the future that this project under the Project Broken Arrow needs? And what can people like us that are around the world listening in other states and other countries, what can we do to help where the help is needed in such a high percentage of their population? What is it that would give you some great resources?
Well, thank you for giving us this time, because the lack of resources has just been so detrimental to the community, and even for us to come on board and to try to assist and try to bridge this gap. If someone, for example, needed shelter and the small shelter that they have is full, then they have to hitchhike. Hitchhiking is a normal thing there. 2 hours to Albuquerque. That's one of the things that inspired us to go ahead and, okay, we need to look into like having a safe haven. And it's going to cost us money to do that. So we need prayers. We also need financial support. We need partners to come on board to assist us and to see this vision come to be fulfilled. We need a place where the women feel safe, and not to fall back into trafficking, because the likelihood of that is very high, because the common factor is the vulnerability. When you don't have money, when you're poverty stricken, there's no resources, there's really nothing to help you, then you're going to falter to that person, that perpetrator that at least fed you something, kept you alive, but for their own gain. And that's the problem.
Yeah. Now, if both of you will look at me in my eyes right now through the camera, I've got a very heartfelt question I feel needed to ask you right now, and just going to blurt it out. When you saw this need, if you didn't respond, how would you feel now? And if you're not the ones to help solve it, who will? And what kind of heavy weight is that on you?
I have to take a deep breath before I answer that, because that was a question. Once you at one of the events at Red Rock near Gallup, New Mexico, we had a tent and we had hundreds of people come by. We had a questionnaire, and I wasn't really knowing. I didn't know how much people are going to disclose and what have you, but I can tell you, when they came, they sat down, they read it. Basically, we're asking, do you know what human trafficking is? Are you affected by human trafficking? And something simple as, do you want to learn more about it? I can tell you 9 out of 10 people who came to our booth all were affected by human trafficking, saying, I was affected by human trafficking. My friend is affected by human trafficking. I dodged a bullet. I almost got trafficked. I filed a report. My sister, she's been missing since, 4 years ago. She just disappeared. We have no idea. We don't have a trace of where she's at. Please keep her in mind and pray for her. I've never been in a situation where one after another, people are telling me, disclosing, yes. After you get that, you're like, what do you do about it? You have to do something about it. You can't unlearn, unsee. And the connection we make with the people, I can't just walk away, come back to California, live my life as if that didn't happen, as if, okay, big deal. I'm going to go move on with my life and not do anything about it. Yes, I felt like, what am I going to do as one person or with Patrice, two people? What are we going to do about this? And guess what? That's a walk in faith. You respond to the call, you respond to the need, and here we are. 3 years later,
Yeah.
still walking out the call and the vision. And the vision is clear. The vision is, let's bring them together. Let's hear about everybody. Let's start communicating, and let's encourage and empower them how collaboration does work and how it can work by communicating with each other. And I'm talking about law enforcement, social workers, other service providers, the church even. Let's get them educated. Let's not have somebody come to the church and need help, and you're scooting to the other side of the pew because of the way they're dressed. It takes a lot of effort. I sat with pastors where even they're out doing outreach, and they finally get somebody who they are aware of based upon their lifestyle. They're like, it took me a long time to get her to witness that person to come to church. And then I'm sitting here preaching, and I see people on the other side of the pew and not welcoming that person. So what I'm saying, what has been in place, it hasn't been working. So let's change. Let's start working together. Do they need a home? Yes, they need a home. They need a safe haven. The Lord has blessed us with an opportunity as we're sharing this in Gallup. Hey, I have property for sale, but now we need the money to buy the property. We need money to buy the land. It's about over $400,000, and we're believing God for it, and we can't do it without help. I'm like, okay, Lord, that's your vision, and you're going to have the provision. And that's what my sister Patrice and I have been, contending for. And do they need curriculums for the school, for not just schools and the children, but their parents, the grandmothers, the grandpas, the neighborhoods, the churches? They all need to be educated. I got a phone call the other day, and I don't want to get off topic. because we had such a successful turnout at a luncheon that we held for, this project. We had about 80 people, some folks from the Navajo Nation and a lot of people from and leaders within the community come together. And the fact that this other person in Arizona heard about it gave me a call. He says, "Hey, Melina, I heard about your successful turnout with the luncheon that you guys have about human trafficking." He's like, "We need help here. There's fentanyl. People are dying on the reservation. The DEA is now hosting a summit because our people don't realize that now we have to worry about fentanyl being in the on the reservation. They're questioning, why is my daughter dying? She just took a pill to go to sleep, but not knowing that's laced with fentanyl, and she died." So there's so many cases, and not only that, but he's also shared the cartels are here. Our people are an easy target, and we don't have enough law enforcement to even enforce the law. But we need help, and we're trying to educate them. And so, it's such a there's so much work. There's so much work to do, but we also want to, okay, what are the steps we need to take? They need resources. They need education. They need a safe haven. How can we provide that for them? We've established a task force. And what else can we do? We're praying to God that the money comes in. We're praying to God that people can hear about what's going on here within our own borders. I'm not talking about a third world country like Cambodia, a war-torn country where I came from as a refugee. I'm talking about a state next to California, a state next to, I mean, not too far from California, a state that's neighboring Arizona, and Texas even, and Utah, Colorado. And I'm speechless as far as the living conditions. We don't even want to, I don't want to go about the talking about the living conditions and on a reservation. I was there not too long ago. They need power. They need water. Just the basic necessities. How do we get them to the 24th century? So it's a loaded question when people often ask us, what do you need help with? There's a lot of help. We're doing as much as we can, but we can do so much more with everybody else's help.
I can tell Patrice you have a thought.
A couple things. When Melanie was sharing and you had asked a question, I'm kind of going to go back. I don't know how you frame the question now, but I was thinking about could we not do this and how would I feel? I think that's what you were asking, correct? But what I noticed, like for me, my experience is I've had people many times. That was not unusual for when she was telling me they were coming disclosing. My experience was people were coming and disclosing, kids anywhere, everywhere. I was shocked. So that wasn't unusual, but what compelled me, and I believe it's God's heartbeat, is that there was something that I knew nothing about, but I feel like in the mind of God, He does, that there's something about the First Nations. And even just that name, it's not necessarily Gallup, Broken Arrow, and what we're doing. It isn't, it isn't, because this is what He's opened the door for. It's the fact that First Nations, when we come and be a part of what God wants to do for those people, because they are our people, they are in our country. There's something that He's doing beyond trafficking, beyond all the things, addictions, the things that go on the river, all the things that we have experienced. That's where I came in and say, yes. So I'm linking my hands with my sister because I believe God is calling His people to say, hey, yes, there's everywhere we can help. Believe me, we have a lot of help. I love the youth here. That is my heartbeat. Our like right here in Southern California or Delaware, Wilmington, Newark, Delaware, where I'm from. However, there's something about the First Nations that I feel is very significant. God has highlighted for the Broken Arrow Project. And yes, we do need help. We do need partners to come on board. Even a partner that would just say, I will give you a monthly, if it's And we've say any
It looks like we only have 1 minute. How can provide a source for us to be able, how do we get in touch if people listening wants to help? What's the best way?
they can get on our website and donate www.theprojectfoundation.org, and they can put a note.
Projectfoundation.org.
Yes.
That's the best way.
That's the best way. Melanie, if you have another way.
That would be the best way for now, to go on our website and inquire about more about Project Broken Arrow, more about any
Okay.
projects that you see that we're a part of that's on our website, because there's plenty of projects that we definitely need help with.
That's
But
great.
but they can also contact you directly, since you're okay with sharing your cell phone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let me know and I'll patch you right through to him. Absolutely. Hey, ladies, they're getting ready to cut us off. But thank you so much for being on here tonight. Thank you for your hearts. Thank you for answering the call. Thank you for being champions and the light in the darkness of areas that some people just ignore and pretend it doesn't even affect them. It's part of our people. It's part of our country. It's part of our citizens of this awesome country. It is our responsibility to join hands. And you folks have done that. You ladies are doing it in an excellent, excellent way. Thank you so much. And I am honored to call each of you my friend. I appreciate it. God bless you.
God bless you. We are honored.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.
Thank you so much. As we do each and every week, and sorry we got long-winded here, but it's good information. I wanted to go up to the very last second on this. No matter what situation you are in, get involved in this one. You have at least a $5 bill in your pocket right now that you're going to bypass Starbucks tomorrow and get on the Project Foundation and donate at least that. Do something to help this cause, because it's a cause that is going to end up affecting so many, many lives, not only lives of adults, but our children. Children, come on. United States, we can do better than this. Come on, step up to the plate and let's knock this out of the park. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. Don't miss next week for another live edition of Breaking the Silence. And thank you, Patrice. Thank you, Melanie, for being with me tonight. And thank you for being who you are. God bless you all. Good night.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1 for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.